Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline broadcast, hosted by Apostle Shirley Jones. She is the senior pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center, and we are located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Service on Sunday is at 10 a.m., and we would be honored to have you come out to worship and fellowship with us. We are indeed being blessed by the Lord every Sunday. We have Bible study via teleconference every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. The dial-in number is 712-432-3100. The access code is 386-279. Apostle Jones's book, Lifeline, When God Speaks, Volumes 1 and 2, can be purchased at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and any place books are sold. You can also send your request to www.shirleyjjones.com. To purchase the books along with the worship CD birth during her time sitting before the Lord. Lifeline, When God Speaks, is a book of encouraging words that God gave for her life, and now she shares to encourage you in your journey. So be sure to get a copy. Apostle Jones can be reached via email at apostlesjones@rehobothflc.org. or by phone at 1-877-354-6082. She would love to hear from you. Remember, the broadcast is the first Monday of each month. Get the word out. Now, to Lifeline Broadcast with Apostle Shirley Jones.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you so very much for joining me tonight for the Lifeline broadcast. To God be all the glory. So I pray that you guys have had a good day. And for those of you that live where I live in the DMV, we've got snow starting yesterday, and it's been icy and rainy and snow since yesterday, and it's supposed to go this way until tomorrow. So I pray that everybody's safe. You got some snacks, and you're getting a chance just to get quiet. To God be the glory. It's something about snow. It lets you know that God is truly in control, that God knows everything about snow. He knows how to talk to snow. He knows where snow is housed. He could tell snow where to fall, and that it just reminds you again that God indeed is in control. Well, as always, I'm just so honored and glad to be a part of this network, When Christians Speak Talk Radio Show. This network is doing the work of kingdom building throughout the world. You know, and we are in a time where the gospel must be preached to give hope and encouragement. I pray that the work of this network goes even further in doing kingdom building. To God be the glory. Amen and amen. So before I get into the teaching for tonight, I want to extend an invitation to everyone to join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for Rehoboth Family Life Center worship service via Facebook Live, where this Sunday we will be broadcasting from the church Facebook page. Also, this coming Sunday is Communion Sunday, and all you have is some bread, a cracker, and juice, as we do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ. So invite your family and your friends to join in with you, because this is such an awesome time to evangelize and share the good news of the gospel. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we just bless you. Excuse me. We just bless you tonight, God, and we honor you. We thank you, Lord God, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you that we can always count on you, that, Father, that you're faithful, that you're merciful, and you're kind. And so I pray that, God, that you would just bless these, your people tonight, that have pressed their way to the line. I pray that God, that they would be blessed, that they would, Father God, not just be hearers of the word, but they would be doers as well. And so, Father, I just submit myself to you tonight. I pray that, God, that you would speak out of these clay lips, and that, God, that what I say is what you say to say, and that, God, that you would be glorified. So, Father, I thank you, I bless you, and I honor you, and I submit this word and myself to you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, the title of this teaching is actually going to be a part two from last month, and that's New Day, New Things, and New Ways. Well, I pray all is well with each of you and your family. And I was just thinking about this, you know, the days are really going pretty fast. It seems like we were just at New Year's Eve, and now we are the first day of February is today. So the days are really going quick, and we have to be in the day, because either you're in the day or the day is going to leave you behind. So we just want to make sure that we're in God's timing and God's will and God's purpose for our life. What I want to say up front is that we must be ever so vigilant in our safety measures against the virus, but also to pay attention to everything right about now. There are a lot of moving parts going on in the world, so we need to stay in prayer and, again, pay attention. Do not ignore the checks or the red flags when it's telling you not to go or not to do. Our obedience gives us the victory. Amen, amen, and amen. Also, what I want to do is to caution all of us, caution you that know that we do indeed, again, stay ever before the Lord for instructions, revelation, wisdom, provision, and all that he has purposed in our life for 2021 and beyond. And know that the plan of the enemy remains the same. And that's where the caution comes in. Know this, that the trick of the enemy, the scheme of the enemy, remains the same. John 10:10-11 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So regardless of what's going on, even with the new day, new things and new ways, you know, let's not get geeked up. This is what I think I told to the church the other day. Let's not get geeked up in the fact that we hear new. But we have to also be mindful, hallelujah, that even when God is moving, that the enemy is always going to be moving. His whole ploy is to steal and to kill and to destroy. But if we stay ever before the Lord, that we'll be able to live on this side of the comma, which is telling us that he is the good shepherd and that he's come that we may have life and we may have it more abundantly. We do not want to be caught on our blind side. Oh, glory to God. So we're talking tonight, part two is new day, new things, and new ways. So one of the things I want to say about even the new day is let's not get distracted. Let's not get distracted because we need to be able to hear God. We need to be able to follow his instructions. We need to be obedient to what he tells us to do. Remember, again, the enemy's always looking for a place to drag us out of the will of God, to have us not be able to move forward in the things of God. So we do not need to be distracted during this time. Remember, with Joshua, and I thought about this before I got on the line. Remember with Joshua, in the book of Joshua, chapter 9, verse 14, and this is where Joshua, he had just defeated the king of Ai, and he had just brought down through prayer before God and instructions the wall of Jericho. So he had all these victories, and all the surrounding nations were able to see what the God of Joshua could do. And so there was fear in the land. And so there were some some tribes that were nearby who said, well, maybe if we make a league with them that they won't destroy us. Now, remember what I said, that we have to pay attention. We cannot be distracted. Well, here was Joshua. He had had these victories. He saw what God could do. Now, here comes this neighbors down the road, and they come and they say to Joshua, you know, that they're from a far country. And they tell Joshua, when we started out, our clothes were clean and pressed, and our shoes were new, and now they're old, and we took the bread out the oven, and now the bread is molded, trying to let Joshua know that they had been traveling for a long time. But because Joshua did not seek out the voice of God, it says in Joshua 9:14, and the men took of their victuals and asked not the counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Joshua, here was Joshua winning all these battles. He was following the instructions of God. But he gets here, and he's listening. He's got some victories under his belt. And now he's listening for what they say, but he never sought the counsel of God. We have got to be very careful that we are not going by what we see. We're not going by what we hear, but we've got to be able to get that thing in our spirit, because the enemy is waiting for the opportunity to cause us to fail. And because Joshua had agreed to make a league with these people, that when he found out that they had lied to him and they were right down the road a piece, that he had to keep the promise that he made. Because why? He did not seek out the counsel of God. So everything in our new day, in our new things, in our new ways, and going forward, not for just 2021. This is not a word just for 2021. I believe that it's an everlasting word, that we have got to be able to seek out the mouth of God. Everything that we do, everywhere that we go, God, is it this where I need to go? Is it this person I need to be with? Am I supposed to take advantage of this opportunity? I had just been having a conversation with God about this, that he told me, he says, every opportunity that comes during this time is not always going to be me, and you have to seek me out and I'll let you know which things you should say yes to and what things you would have to say no to. I got a call about a week and a half ago where it was from this magazine company, and they were doing a book fair, and they had all these things that they could help me promote my books, and they could help me with my website, and they would help me with the marketing, and it was all these things that they could do. And, of course, there was a price to it, but it was a lot of bells and whistles. And so the lady kept saying, well, you know, we can send you the contract today. And I was like, no. I said, first I have to pray about it, and plus I need to talk to my publisher. And I knew kind of when I got off the phone that I probably was not going to do that. And as I began to pray, it was like, no, this is not where the Lord would have me. Although it sounds a lot, has some good things to it, but that's not where God had my life right now, that I have to be obedient and I have to seek the counsel of God in everything that I do and everywhere that I go. So we cannot be distracted during this time. Distraction. New day. In our new day, let's not get distracted. Another prime example was in the book of Nehemiah. And this is in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2 to 9. And this is where, remember, Nehemiah heard that the walls and the gates were broke down in Jerusalem. And he got leave from his job to go to help rebuild the wall and the gate. But there was so much opposition that there were these two men who did not want this to take place. And this is over in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2. And their name was Sanballat and Geshem. And they said that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, talking about Nehemiah, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messages unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in the like manner the fifth time. These boys was trying to get Nehemiah off his post. They sent an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, "It is reported among the heathen," and he said, "the Jews think to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words." He says, "Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together." Then I sent unto him, saying, "There is no such thing done as thou sayest, but thou fingest them out of thy own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Oh, glory to God. Nehemiah was determined that he was not going to be distracted. Here they were trying to get Nehemiah to come down and talk to them because they had a plot to kill him. But he said, "No, I'm not coming down. I got work to do. I don't have time to talk to you guys." And then they made up a lie that Nehemiah was telling the people that he was going to be their king. And now he was trying to put fear in the people. But Nehemiah knew the charge that he had. And he says, "No, I'm not coming. And what you're saying, you have made up." And what he did, what did he do? He said, "God, oh God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands." And see, and that's where we have to be is when you know. That's why it's so important that we have to know what God is asking us to do so that when we're in that thing, we're not distracted. And see, in this new day, there's going to be things that will come to try to challenge you. But if you know what God has said and you trust the word of the Lord, then you can go before him and ask him, "God, is there something that I need to do? Is there something that I need to be involved in? Is there somebody that I need to join in a work with? God, what are you saying?" But Nehemiah did not get off of the work. He says, "No." He said, "This is what I am charged to do, and I don't care what you say, that I am not coming off of this work because it's more important to me than me coming down to have conversation with you about a lie." Oh, glory to God. And he just told him, he said, and then he just prayed, "Oh, God, strengthen my hands." So that's where we have to find ourselves at, that during this time of the new day, that when things begin to change, and they are going to change, but we've got to continually seek out God because we have never been here. Think about this, y'all. Come on now. We've never been here. It's almost a year. This month is when they started talking about the virus. You know, talk was out there. They were saying, you know, there's a virus going on. And at first they were like, well, you know, it's not going to last long. It'll probably be a month or a couple of days, and it'll be over with. But here we are almost a year in, and we're still doing and dealing with this virus. So we've not been here before. There's so many things that we've had to adapt to and change in 2020, and now we're in 2021, and we still got to stay before God because there's still a lot of uncertain things. They're still not sure about the virus. They're still not sure about so many things that contribute to it and what we need to do. But I believe that as we stay before God, that God will instruct us, number one, like I said, be vigilant in your safety measures, that we got to wear a mask, we got to wash our hands, we can't be hanging out with a bunch of folk, and we just got to be led by the Spirit that dwells within us. So we can't be distracted during this time. Another thing that we have to understand, that 2020 was actually a time when we were actually being prepared for some things that are forthcoming. All the lessons that you learned, all the things that you did different in 20 and 2020, do not abandon them because they are going to suffice you in this new day. In the new day, it was not easy. 2020 was not easy. It's not even easy now. But I say to you tonight, and I decree and declare that it will pay off. It will pay off. It will pay off if we allow God to instruct us in the next steps that we need to take. It's not always easy. Think about this with King David. Before David was king, remember he was anointed king, but then he had to go back to the sheepfold of his fathers. And not long after that, he found himself in a cave running from Saul. But nonetheless, he was still going to be king. So here he is in a cave, but then he became king. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's not always easy. Some things are preparation. So don't allow the enemy to distract you. Do not allow the enemy to pull you off of even the hard places. God is going to give us grace to be able to stay in the places that we need to stay in as long as we need to stay there. Another thing during this new day, we got to declare what he has said it to be. Because why? Because it is still so. Oh, glory to God. Every promise, every vision, every dream that God has given you, that it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. And as you stay before him, you can begin to speak those things that be not as if they are. Because let me tell you this, your spirit will see it before your natural eye. God will give you visions. He will give you his word. He will give you the word. And we'll be able to see it in the spirit before we see it in the natural. And that's why you have to guard your words. Don't be distracted even with your words. Watch what you say, who you say it to. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Either way, either life or death, there shall be fruit. There should be good fruit, multiple fruit, or there should be rotten fruit. Oh, but fruit's going to come out of our words. Our words have power, y'all. We can speak things that be not as if they are, if it's the word of the Lord. Now, don't go around spurting out and decreeing a bunch of crazy stuff, but if God indeed has said this is what he's going to do for you in your new day, then you can begin to declare that and decree that and see it come to pass. You can get in God's word. Speak the word over your situations. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures may have hope. Oh, glory to God. If we get into the word quiets us down. The word encourages us. The word allows us to know that the promises of God are yea and amen. That everything that God has said that he's going to do, that it shall come to pass. Oh, glory to God. We have history with God. We have history. You got to pull on your history during this time as well. I was talking to someone earlier today, and I was sharing about this song, and it's by Anthony Brown and Therapy, and the name of the song is History. So if you get a chance, go to YouTube and pull it up. It's called History. And the question that he asks in the song, it goes like this. He says, why would he not show up again? Did he not show up the last time? We have history. I am remembering our history. I love our story. I know you have tomorrow just like you have today, and I have not forgotten what you did for me yesterday. We have history. Hallelujah and amen. Oh, glory to God. So I say that to you right now, to each one of you on the broadcast tonight. Why would he not show up again? Come on now. Why would he not show up again? Did he not show up the last time? You got history with God. You got to pull on your history. You've been some places with God. You've come through 2020. You come through with the pandemic. You are still upon the earth. And therefore, God has something more for you to do. God will show up and do exactly what he said he's going to do. Pull on your history. Those places that God has brought you through, not just in 2020, but all the places prior to 2020 that God has brought you through. Why would he not show up again? And did he not show up the last time? Oh, come on now. Come on now. Come on and let us just get excited about the new day. Let us look forward to it now, today, and thank God for it. He is not finished with you, and he's not finished for you. Let nothing rob you of your new day. Just thank God. Oh, glory. Thank him. Say, God, I thank you for my new day. I thank you for the new things that are coming, God. I thank you, Lord, God, that my day will not look like my yesterday, God, but my new day, God, will have things loaded with what you have for my life. Look for the new day. not back. Don't look back. Don't look back. Only look back to for your lessons, but don't look back and stay back. But look forward to the new day that God has for you. Now, let's talk a little bit about some new things. New things. New things. Remember, we're talking about new day, new things, and new ways. One of the things that the Lord began to talk to me about being in the new things, he said we have to become and remain open to new things. Most of the time, we do desire some new things, but most of the time, the things that we desire that are new, that we have our spin already on that thing. You know, new things, we want it to be what we want, how we want it, and when we want it. But we serve a God that knows so much more than we. And he says that you have to remain open to the new things that I have for you, that they may always look like what you have expected. It may not look like what you thought it would look like. It may not come packaged the way you think it was going to come packaged. It may not even come in the time frame in which you thought it was going to come. He said, but I'm bringing some new things in your life, and I need you to remain open to it. He said to tell them, he says, even when I close a door, know that when I close a door, that I'm opening another door, and that door is always better than the door that was closed. Why? It's because we serve a multifaceted, strategic God who knows everything. We are single-minded, and we are short-sighted. We can only see what's right in front of our face, and a lot of time our desires are based on so many superficial things. Come on now, so many superficial things. But we serve a God that's strategic. We serve a God that's a thorough God. He doesn't just do things just to do things. He does things with a purpose. So we have to remain open to some of the things that God is going to do in our lives. A lot of times, doubt sets in, fear shows up. But when God opens the door of opportunity, know that it is a door and things and people have already been appointed and stationed for your arrival. Oh, glory to God. I got to say that one again because I've experienced this. He says that when he opens up a door of opportunity, of course, yes, fear is going to show up, doubt's going to show up, and you'll be wondering whether, can I really handle this? Am I equipped to handle this? He said, but when he opens up a door of opportunity with new things for your life, he says that people have already been appointed and stationed for your arrival. Oh, glory to God. Yes, they are. You don't have to worry about it all being on you, but God is strategic. I remember, and I saw the picture. This is clear when I said that. I remember when I first moved here, and I was looking for a church, and I was working on a job, and one of my coworkers knew that I was looking for a church, and he had just ran into somebody he hadn't seen in years. It was a friend of his wife, and she says, oh, yeah, you know, we're doing good. We just opened up a church in Alexandria, where I lived, and we just started a church, like, in July, and this was, like, about October. And she said, yeah, I'm going to tell so-and-so that I saw you. He said, well, I'm going to give him a call. So he called him, and he says, well, I have his coworkers that are looking for a church, and she lives in Alexandria. And he says, well, have her give me a call. And he says, well, can we do a three-way? And he called me. He says, can we do a three-way? And I said, sure. And so I talked to the pastor, and he invited me out. And I went to the church, like, that Sunday. I joined probably a month later. And was there for I forgot how many years. I got ordained at the church, and so. But I'm talking about God. Here was me not knowing anybody in this area, but God had me put on a job to meet this young man who knew this couple, this pastor and his wife, who were just starting a church where I was going to be at, where I would be ordained at, where I would learn about ministry, and I would move from there to the next part of my life. Don't tell me what God won't do. God has people stationed. These people were stationed and positioned before I even got here, but God made sure that the connection was made so that I could be able to move in the next place of my life. Oh, glory to God. So you don't have to worry about how it's going to work out. Is it going to work out? When God opens up the door for the new thing, then God will work that thing out. Jeremiah 18:3-6 says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." God is saying right here, I'm doing some new things in your life. Will you let me do it? That I am the potter and you are the clay. Let me shape you. Let me mold you. Let me position you. Let me put you in places that I know that will work for you. Let me put you in places that you can be further prepared for the next thing or the next opportunity that I have for you. He says, will you let me do it? Will you let me do it? He's asking us that tonight. Will you let me do it? Will you give me the go-ahead? Will you give me the high sign? Will you give me the yes? Yes, yes, that's it. Will you give me the yes tonight that I am the potter and you are the clay? Will you allow me to do the new things in your life that will show you great and mighty things? Oh, glory to God. You know, we have also in the book of this is Ruth. Remember Ruth. Ruth, it was Ruth and Naomi, and then it was the sister-in-law, and now their husbands die, and Naomi's getting ready to go back to her homeland. And they had, here was two women, same situations. They had married these men, and they died. They were brothers. But now the mother-in-law is going back. They had the same situation, the same circumstance. But here it was, Ruth decided that I'm going to go back with Naomi. Her sister-in-law said, "Nah, I'm going back to my homeland. I don't know nothing about those people." She couldn't embrace the newness of her life. She went back to what was familiar. Come on, let's not us be so eager to go back to what it was. I believe that in the earth right now, there are so many systems, there's so many ways that have been broke up that I believe will never be put back together again, that we've got to be in position to grab the new things, the new ways that God will show us how to do the things that he has for us. Here's Ruth. Ruth goes back, and Ruth meets Boaz. Oh, glory. And here she married Boaz, and she becomes the great-grandmother of King David. Oh, glory to God. New things. What does God have for you? What's waiting for you to be able to embrace the new thing so that God can further prepare you in your purpose and your destiny? Mark chapter 9, 23-24. And once again, fear is going to show up. Doubt may show up. But just like the gentleman in this scripture here, where his son was having some situations with the devil, and he was being beat up, and he was foaming at the mouth, and he was cutting himself. He was doing a whole bunch of stuff. And Jesus is coming through town, and the father says to him, he said, "But I believe you." This is in Mark chapter 9. He said, Jesus said unto him, "If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." So when you're struggling, when you're in that pull, when you're like, "God, I think it's you. I know it's you. And I know, but God, I have this. I don't know. Because he knew that Jesus could do it, but there was a side of his brain that kept seeing his son and all the people, other people who said that they could cure him that didn't. He said, "But I believe, but help my unbelief." So when God is taking us through these new things, you got to be careful. Don't be distracted. You got to be careful and stay before God and know that God has already appropriated everything that you need. I am a witness to that, that everything that I left behind, that when I landed in the place where I was supposed to be, that God had already appropriated every person that I was supposed to meet, every door that was supposed to be open, every opportunity that was going to come to my life, and destiny and purpose kissed in this location where I'm at. It wasn't back there. God could have did it back there, but God chose to do it in another location. So God had to do the new thing. He had to get me to the place in which my blessings were waiting for me to arrive in. The people were already lined up. Friends were already lined up. Oh, hallelujah. Even friends for my children were already lined up. Both of my sons found their wives in this place that we moved to. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so interesting, my oldest son, his wife, she lived not far from where we used to live in Philadelphia. But he didn't meet her there. He met her in D.C. My other son, he had to go to Elizabeth City and play a football to meet his wife. Had we stayed where we were, none of this would have taken place. But the Almighty God already had these people positioned, already had doors open for us to be able to be what he's called us to be. Oh, God is doing a new thing, y'all, new thing, and we've got to let him do it. Oh, hallelujah. In the book of Joshua, also, Joshua got a chance to do the new thing with God. This is Joshua. Remember, Joshua was walking with Moses. He was serving Moses. But because Moses allowed the people to rattle him, that when God told him to speak to the rock so the rock would produce water, Moses allowed the people to get to him. And instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock not only once, but he struck the rock twice. And God said, because you did not obey me, because now it looked like you had some power and you took my glory, he said that you're not going, Moses. But imagine, you heard me say this all the time, imagine that Joshua saw Moses go into the mount. Remember when he went up for the Ten Commandments, it was Joshua that saw him go up into the cloud and spent 40 days with God to receive a word. And he waited for him in the mount, and he came back down, and he saw what Moses was able to do, and he had to be thinking, well, dang, God, if Moses don't go, what is it going to take? But God said, nope, Moses ain't going, and the mantle is being placed on you to take these folks over into the promised land. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. But what did he tell Joshua? He told Joshua that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He was given specific instructions from God of how to walk in the new thing and to prosper him and the people. God will not give you an assignment. God will not call you to anything that he himself will not walk with you through it. He himself will not give you instructions. He is himself that will not have things lined up for you so that you will prosper in what he's called you to do as long as you follow his instructions. Yes, fear is going to show up. Doubt is going to show up. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So whenever God asks you to do something, and he's bringing something new, and you know it's him, then you can get before God and say, God, I'm struggling, but help my unbelief, God. I know you can do it, and I believe you called me, but God, I'm struggling in my flesh. God, we got to put flesh to a rest. That's why we got to get in the word and let the word find us out. We got to stay in prayer so God can move the things that hinder us from going forth and being all that he's called us to be. So Joshua, he told Joshua to meditate on my word day and night. Oh, glory. He said, allow the word to be your tool, Joshua. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. So that settled Joshua down that now that he can speak to the people and take the people over into the promised land. Oh, hallelujah. New thing, new thing, new thing, new thing. We must stay open to the new thing. Even when it looks strange, even when it looks like you can't do it, but you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. I am sitting in positions that I never raised my hand for. You guys have heard me say that. I didn't raise my hand to be a preacher. I didn't raise my hand to be a pastor. I didn't raise my hand to be an apostle. I didn't raise my hand to be an author. I never raised my hand for any of this. But God said, but this is what I've created you to do. This is what I've created you to be. And I am going to walk you through it. And God has. He said, I have circled back from eternity, daughter, and I'm walking you through every place that I've called you to, that I know where the stop signs are. I know where the pitfalls are. I know the seat of the enemy. Oh, glory. And I am going to walk you through to purpose and destiny. And God is saying that to each one of you tonight, that as you allow him to take you through to the new things, do not fret. Do not fret. Do not fret. But allow God to show you the new things. And don't shun away from them. That's what he keeps saying to me. Don't shun away from them, Shirley. The new things that I have for you, embrace them because it gives me glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I speak new things into your life now. I pray that everything that God has for you, it will be revealed, and you shall walk in them, and you shall be all that God has called you to be. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory. Hallelujah. New things that God has for it. In the new day, in the new things, God has great and mighty things for us, even today, even today. Now, let's jump down to the new way. We talked about new day, new things, and now we're going to talk about new way. Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Oh, hallelujah. He's saying here that I'm telling you what I'm going to do. Remember, he said new day. He told us new day, new things, and new way. He said, I will tell you before it springs forth. So he's given us the word, y'all. Come on now. He's given us the word. And he says, you shall know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He's letting us know, come on now, if I could give you a new day. I'm the God. Oh, hallelujah. I can make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, who could do that? In the wilderness, you know, don't live out in the wilderness. They can survive unless God gives the wherewithal to do it. And who raises up a river in the desert? Deserts don't have rivers. But God said, but I'm the God. Oh, I can make a way in the wilderness, and I can raise up a river in the desert. The same God that he said that I'm going to do a new thing and a new way in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So indeed, if we are expecting a new day and we're receiving new things, it's no way that we can do the same things in ways that we used to do them before. We must allow the Holy Spirit to show us the new ways. I believe that when we're able to move around and out again, that we got to do it, but we got to do it differently. You know, we already been doing so many things differently, and we have to continually do them different in different ways because things have changed. We can't abandon the new ways of thinking and doing life. Life has changed, and the mode or the mold of the old has been broken. And like I said, I believe that it will never, ever be the same again. Remember, we've not been in these places before, so we need God to show us. How do I operate in this place, God, in this way? Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all, hear me, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Hallelujah. Acknowledge him. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. But I know that, God, that you're more than able. You're more than able to show me, God, which way to go and how to do it, God. You will give me the wherewithal to do it in everything. 1 Corinthians 12:31, the latter part of the scripture says, or the verse, it says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. God knows so much more than we know. God can do it in such a manner that we can never even imagine or even think the way God shows and knows. He says, I will show you a more excellent way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God, there are things that God is going to do, the new day, the new things, and the new way. I was thinking about this, about Joshua, and everybody that knows me knows Joshua, my boy. I love the story of Joshua, not Joshua, Joseph. Joseph is my boy. So much that God did in Joseph's life. Everything that he learned from the pit to the prison to the palace, it served him well. Everything. Think about this. Here he was in the pit, then he went to the prison, but then when it was time, when the door opened for him, he went to the palace, and he never went back. He never went back to a prison. Never, because now Joseph is now second in command to the king. But when he was in the prison, he learned the culture. He learned how the people thought. Remember, he's not an Egyptian. He learned how the people thought. He learned the language of the people. And then he was called to be second in command to the king. It's no way that Joseph could have went in his old way, still be successful, because he was not an Egyptian. But now he becomes ruler over the Egyptian because of the things that he had learned. He had to learn a new way. But this was really interesting. I was reading about Joseph earlier this morning, and I saw where Joseph, remember when he interpreted the dream, that's how he got to be second in command to Pharaoh. But not only was Joseph had a prophetic call where he was a prophetic dream interpreter, but he also had the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. So right here, he had gifts that were being cultivated. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this is so good. He had gifts that were being cultivated in him while he was in the pit and while he was in the prison. He learned some things that will serve him well. But he had to learn a new way in order to be where God has placed him at. So now he's second in command. He gets a chance to provide for his family. He gets a chance to see his father before his father dies. But now the gifts, oh, glory, that were being forged in him now are being manifested. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are new ways, and there are certain gifts and talents in you that will not manifest until you get to the new ways of things that God will show you how to do it. The new day, the new things, and the new way. Queen Esther, another example, Queen Esther, remember, she was brought to the palace, and now she's has to prepare to go before the king. She had to be prepared, and how she was prepared, that there were 12 months that she had to purify herself before she could go to the king. She had 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors and other things for the purifying of women. And then she would go before the king to see whether the king was taken by her. And we know how that story goes. The king was smitten by old Esther. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. But see how she had to learn the ways of the people. She had to learn and be shaped and molded and fashioned so that she can go before the king. But she was only not just supposed to be a queen. She was sent to be a deliverer. Oh, hallelujah. But she had to learn the ways. What are you learning now that God will send you to some other folks, send you in another place, in another ministry, in another doing, another being, and building and becoming? And what is God preparing you for and showing you some new ways to do things? Stop trying to hold on to the old ways. Stop trying to hold on to the old ways and let God show you some new things. I laughed about this one. We all probably know about this one. He says, no longer doing things like we always did them without any true understanding. And one example of that is, remember, for generations you heard people like, you know, whenever you do a ham, you got to cut the ham in half. So people kept asking questions like, well, why are we cutting the ham in half? And he said, well, that's what grandma did. And called grandma. I don't know, that's what my grandma did. And it went for generations and generations. So somebody finally said, the reason why we cut the ham either in half or cut the ends off It is because great grandma didn't have a pan that was big enough to hold a ham. Oh, glory to God. So sometimes we do things and we don't even know why we do it. We do it because it's tradition. We do it because somebody said that that's why we're supposed to do it. But we got to get before God, y'all. We got to learn some new ways, because some ways of things we're doing don't make no sense at all. It has no real meaning. So we have to get before God and allow him to show us what we need to do. Oh, hallelujah. I thought y'all would like that one, because I laughed when he gave me that one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he also says sometimes God's ways, they're sure, but even there are times when they seem strange, but we got to trust him anyhow. Oh, hallelujah. We got to trust God, even when it looks weird and strange. I say weird because sometimes you don't have no words for it. Like, God, I don't know why you got me doing that. But his ways are sure, even when they're strange. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." He's saying right here, I don't think like you think. My ways are not your ways, but my thoughts and your thoughts are higher than heaven and the earth. God doesn't think like we think, y'all. Come on. He's God. He's God. He's God. He said to tell them, he said, "Do not put me in a box in my ways." He says, "Allow me to upgrade your thinking." Oh, hear me now. Upgrade your thinking. He says, "And do not compare to somebody else. You are unique in your relationship with God. The same situation, same outcome, but different methods and ways." Remember, prime example, when he told me that, remember the blind man, there were several situations with the blind man in the Bible. And one time he touched the blind man, and one time he spit on the eye of the blind man. The next time he made a paste out of the dirt and some spit and put the plaster on the man's eye, and he says, "Don't put me in a box." Come on now. He said, "Don't put me in a box. Let me do it the way I need to do it, according to who I have made you." He said, "Stop looking at other people and seeing how it worked out for them." He said, "Because you are unique, and I have a unique way of doing things in your life." He says, "Let me do it my way. Let me do it my way. Let me do it my way." Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. He says we got a new day, we got new things, and we have new ways. And he says, "Share this with the people, Shirley. Tell them," he says, "I'm meeting you at every level of need. Know that there is no situation or circumstance that I do not have the answer and way in which you shall be victorious. My arsenal of doing is being opened up to you. Everything that you need, every answer, every way is being made clear. The portals of heaven is open to you as you continue to allow me to lead and guide you. I have turned you from the old path, and I'm placing you on a new path. Be sure to make the turn with me. There is no grace for the old path purposely for you to seek me out for the new. Know that it is so." Oh, hallelujah. He said, "Know that it is so. Know that it is so." God said there's no grace for the old. He says, "I've only have grace for the new." He said, "And the new is going to lead you to me. Seek me out for the new day. Seek me out for the new things. Seek me out for the new days and the new ways that I have for you." And he says, "It is so. I'm opening up the portals of heaven that you will be able to move in the things of I'm calling for your life." Oh, glory to God. So as we embrace the idea and the thought of a new day and new things and new ways, our ladder, oh, glory, shall be indeed greater. God has so much more for our lives in the new day, in the new things, and the new way. Come on, get excited with me tonight. Oh, get excited, because I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the new day. I'm looking forward to the elements in my new day. God began to speak to me about some of those things today in my new day, in new things and new ways. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it, and I know that it's going to come to pass. Hallelujah and amen and amen. So come on tonight. Come on, wherever you are, your homes, in your car tonight. Come on, declare with me tonight. Declare with me tonight. Declare with me tonight. Come on, let's do this thing together. There's a new day, new things, and new ways for me and for you. Oh, come on, let's do that again. Wherever you are tonight, come on, with me. New day, new things, and new ways for me and for you. Oh, hallelujah, 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 and amen. And I'm excited about all that God has for you, as well as all that he has for me. So, Father God, I would just bless you tonight. I bless you for the new God. I bless you for the new day. I bless you for the new things, and I bless you for the new way, God. We thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing and all that is still yet to come. I pray that, God, that you would bless these, your people. I pray now, Lord God, that you would continually cover us in the blood, God. I pray that, God, that you would show us and lead us and guide us into the things that you would have for us. I pray, God, that every family that's represented on this broadcast tonight, that, God, that they would be blessed and they would be kept. And, Father God, we pray that you would just have mercy upon the land, God. We pray tonight, Lord God, have mercy upon the land, God. We pray that this virus would leave, Father God. Oh, God, that your people will be blessed and your people will be kept. So, Father, we thank you tonight, God, and we bless you and we love you and we adore you. We thank you for the new day, the new things, and the new way. And, Father, we'll be forever grateful. We'll be forever grateful. We'll be forever grateful. We will be forever grateful in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for me. So if you're on the broadcast tonight and you have never just wanted God and Jesus to be a priority of your life, and you know that you really would like to have a new day and some new things and show some new ways, because the other stuff, it just ain't working. Oh, but he is a faithful God, and he will show you some new things, and he will give you some new ways. So if you're on the broadcast tonight and you have never just wanted to make him your priority, and maybe you wanted to, but you just haven't because you didn't understand how to do it or when to do it, but you can do it any place. And so say this with me tonight, that I ask for forgiveness, that I am a sinner, and I ask for forgiveness. And tonight, I'm asking that Jesus would forgive me. I'm asking that God would be my priority, that you would teach me. I may not understand all the ins and outs of how to do it, but I believe that you'll teach me and you'll show me. So tonight, I'm asking that my life will change and that you would be my priority in everything that I do and everywhere that I go and everything that I say. Teach me so that my life would change. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So hallelujah. So if you prayed that with me tonight, I would like to know who you are. You can send me an email, you send me a text, send me something so I'll know that it's you, and I can send you some additional information to help you on your journey, on your new journey, in your new day, in your new things, and in your new way. Well, thank you, everybody. I'm excited. I just get so excited when it comes to the things of God and when it comes to the promises of God. I'm looking forward to all that God has for me and he has for you, and it shall be good. So once again, thank you for joining me this evening. Look, y'all, look for your new days, your new things, and your new ways, not back but forward. So join me again next month. Invite some folks to come and hang out with us as well. So I pray blessings upon you and your family. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed. So hold for the final words, and don't forget, look for your new day, your new thing, and your new ways. Love you guys. Love you guys. Good night.
We thank you for joining us on the Lifeline broadcast and pray you've been blessed. Again, our church is Rehoboth Family Life Center, located at 17900 Queen Anne Road, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, 20774. Apostle Jones would love to hear from you. She can be reached via Apostle S. Jones at RehobothFLC.org or by dialing 1-877-354-6082. Until next month's broadcast, good evening and God bless.